Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank God for the word. Every day with Jesus podcast, where lives are being transformed and enriched by the preaching of the word of God. Hallelujah. Bible truths concerning the local church. This is part 20. And yesterday I began to show us from scriptures how that the leading of the Spirit does not in any way contradict or stand in conflict with the leadership of the local church. Amen. Many times I've had people say to me, so where is the place of the leading of the Spirit? What then is the role of the Spirit in leading me as a person if I still have to follow the leadership of a man? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then, you know, those instructions that are seen in scriptures make it very clear to us that there's leadership in the church and there's followership. Amen. So you can't throw it aside. You can't just discard it. You can't say, well, I'm not going to follow anybody. I'm just a man who follows the Spirit of God. That would be disobedient even to the word of God that you claim to be following. Praise God. So how do we understand the leading of the Spirit as something that is a reality and still maintain and insist on the leadership of the church? I'm going to clarify that yesterday. And I said to us that the leading of the Spirit does not in any way conflict with the leadership of the church, because the leading of the Spirit is for things that pertain to our individual lives. Glory to God. For instance, it would be awkward to find a pastor choosing the course you should study in school or the kind of job you should do or who to marry. Do you understand? Many things. And then I said, even in the area of ministry, the pastor can mobilize you for going on evangelism, but the pastor does not decide what happens while you're on evangelism. It doesn't decide who you reach out to. Amen. You are led of the Spirit of God. We saw that at Acts of Apostles chapter 8, the man Philip, praise God, he was led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the place of prayer also, I don't determine what you see in the place of prayer. I don't determine the kind of experiences you have. Glory to God. The man of God can, or let me say the pastor, because we all are men of God. Hallelujah. The pastor, the preacher, the leader of the church can instruct all of us to be devoted to prayer and to be devoted and committed to the things of the Spirit. But I don't determine when you, I don't determine how much time you spend rather in your individual space in these things. Glory to God. You could be instructed to have a fast. That is not a general fast by the church. You could be instructed to have a retreat. Do you understand? It does not in any way conflict with the leading of the Spirit. So we must understand that the leadership of the church is for accountability, discipline, discipleship, orderliness, glory to God, and it does not in any way conflict with the leading of the Spirit. Glory to God. It does not conflict with the leading of the Spirit. There's a following that you owe the leadership of the church. Glory to God. And yesterday I began to show us Hebrews. I showed us again Hebrews 13 verse 11. Bible says to obey those who have the rule over you. And I said to have the rule over means to command, to have authority over, to instruct, to lead. Amen. And it says to be submissive to them. To be submissive means to not resist. It means to surrender, to follow them wholeheartedly. Glory to God. The Amplified Version says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who would have to render an account of their trust. Do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. Amen. So to recognize them continually as men who give an account over your soul. He says, let them do it with joy and not with grief. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, many times people who say they don't want to follow anybody, they just want to follow the Spirit of God, are not talking based on scriptures. Amen. There's a following you owe the leaders that God has set over you in the body. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 6. Look at this carefully. And then today we are going to answer another question. Can I ask questions or am I just to follow as a zombie? Praise God. Just follow as a zombie, no questions asked. Am I also free to judge what I'm being taught or what I'm being told? Can I ask questions or probe or judge or scrutinize the things that I said or done in a local assembly? We're going to answer those questions today because, I've stressed and emphasized the place of following the leadership. But then we have to clarify certain things. Amen. And that will also be from the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at this. Bible says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all who are in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Hallelujah. You became followers of us. Why did they become followers of the apostles as they were followers of the Lord also? From verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you, for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. They were not just followers of Christ. They were followers of the apostles. Why? Because it was the apostles that took the gospel to them. It's that simple. Amen. They wouldn't have known the Lord outside the ministry of the apostles. Amen. They wouldn't have come in contact with the Lord Jesus without the ministry of the apostles. So they had to become followers of the apostles as they were followers of the Lord. Amen. And they were continually being taught. Because the followership is about doctrine. It's about being trained. Doctrine. They were being taught and raised as disciples of Jesus. So they were not followers of the apostles to learn of the apostles. They were followers of the apostles to learn of Christ. Amen. In fact, one of the marks of false teachers, Paul says in Acts 20, is that they will rise up and draw disciples after themselves. That is, they will be feeding men things that, do not pertain to Christ. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 also, verse 7 to 9. There's such a thing as following men. Glory to God. It is unscriptural to say, I follow no man. No, you have to follow those who have the rule over you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 7 to 9. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 to 9. Are you still listening? Hallelujah. Bible says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. So there's following men, learning their example, following their pattern. Glory to God. It's so important. So, this does not in any way mean that you are not following Christ. You don't say those who follow men don't follow Christ. There's no such thing. If in following men, you are being pointed to Jesus. If in following men, you are being shown Christ and his example and his doctrine, his example, his model, his character, his discipline, then you are following Christ. Hallelujah. You are following Christ. Don't ever set leaders of the church, pastors, shepherds, evangelists, whatsoever titles, don't ever set them against to Christ if they are not opposed to Christ. The only time it's a versus is when it's the ministry of false teachers. Amen. If it is the ministry of sound ministers of the gospel, it cannot be a versus Christ. Because they are not servants of themselves, they are servants of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul says, for we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus as the Lord and ourselves as born servants. Glory to God. So there's no versus. Amen. You are being taught and shown Christ through sound spiritual leadership. Amen. So, in following leaders, are we free to ask questions? Hallelujah. Or should I just receive everything and just follow? I mean, don't ever ask questions. If you have an area that is not clear to you, why do we believe what we believe in this place? Why do we claim this is the truth? Why do we do the things we do? Are we free to ask questions in the body of Christ or in the local church? Of course, you are free to ask questions. In fact, right from the Old Testament synagogues operated in such a way that people could freely come in and ask questions. God has never discouraged asking questions. Amen. I think many times people have misunderstood what it means to be unquestionable. Say, God is unquestionable. That means you can't ask questions. It's not true. Abraham asked him questions. Amen. Abraham asked him questions. Many people asked him questions in the Old Testament. Unquestionable means cannot be faulted. Go and check your dictionary. It means something that cannot be faulted. It doesn't mean you cannot ask questions. Amen. So, back in the Old Testament, even in the synagogues, there was room for asking questions. People could ask questions and, you know, get clarity, get answers. They could also contribute. Praise God. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. That's why Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, could ask questions in the synagogue. He could interact because there was room for that. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 46. Glory to God. Luke 2:46. Very instructive. This was not even the church of Jesus. This was Old Testament setting. And Jesus had the privilege to ask questions in the synagogue. Luke 2:46. Hallelujah. Bible says, now so it was after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. It was in the midst of who? Teachers. So they were teachers, but they could be asked questions. Hallelujah. They were teachers, but there was room for asking them questions so you can get clarity. Amen. Now, Jesus was not just asking questions, he also contributed. Verse 47, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. So Jesus asked questions, and then there was also opportunity for him to make contributions. And they were astonished at his answers. This was Old Testament setting. Praise God. The idea of people just coming to church, receive, go back home, nobody is asking questions, getting clarity, or, you know, making any contribution is really not a biblical standard. Hallelujah. It's really not a biblical standard. It doesn't mean the man is not a teacher. It doesn't mean you don't have a pastor. If people ask questions and they also, you know, contribute based on what they know from God's word. You know, sometimes when people talk like that, that's when you're able to even know what's in their hearts. And then you're able to address it. It doesn't mean the contributions will always be right. But it gives you an opportunity to further address, you know, the wrongs and the false opinions and perspectives in the hearts of men. Glory to God. So there is no forbidding men to ask questions in the local church. It's a healthy disposition to have or to maintain a healthy culture or custom to have as a local church. Men should be free to ask questions. Why do we believe the things we believe? Amen. This kind of explanation, why did we have this kind of explanation to this kind of scripture? Why? I mean, while reading my Bible, I saw this place. And then you said this. I want to understand better. You know, people should be free to pour out their hearts so they can get more clarity. Glory to God. So leadership is not just telling people to do things and they are following you like a zombie. No, they are free to ask questions. There's freedom to have dialogue or discussions or conversations. Amen. How exactly do you think Jesus led the disciples? Do you think he was just telling them, do this, do that, do this, do that? I mean, they had discussions too. Glory to God. There will be many times when you are giving instructions and there will be no questions asked. When you are giving instructions what to do, I mean, there will be no need for questions. Amen. Hallelujah. Because as I'm saying this now, you don't start saying, okay, very good. By the time this lockdown is over, I know what to do. I will question everything in my local church. That's not what we're saying, though. Praise God. You know, you can ask questions to a point where it becomes so ridiculous. And you're just constituting a form of nuisance in the church. Amen. So there are times when questions will be necessary. There are times when questions will be totally unnecessary. So learn to pick your moments wisely. Amen. So that when you stand up to ask questions, people will not, you know, be laughing already. By the time you stand up, before you ask your question, they're already laughing because they know it's one of those silly and funny things again. Amen. So questions will be necessary at different times, and then it's welcome. Glory to God. Right, in the ministry of Jesus also, we saw that Jesus gave room for questions, even from oppositions. Amen. Matthew 22:35. Oppositions, they came to test him or to tempt him in his words, to try to catch him in his words. But Jesus gave room for that. Glory to God. Matthew 22. In fact, let's start from verse 23. First, we have the Sadducees. They came to meet Jesus. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother," and then they went on like that till the seventh one. Now verse 28, "Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Verse 29, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" Hallelujah. "And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." So you see that Jesus gave room. The Sadducees, those ones had no faith in anything spiritual. They had no faith in the resurrection. Yet Jesus accommodated their questions. Amen. So obviously, if Jesus is entertaining questions from outsiders, how much more his disciples? Glory to God. Now verse 34, "When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Glory to God. "Hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, 'What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?' Then he said to him, 'The son of David.' He said to them, 'How then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?' And no man was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore." That is, they began to respect themselves from that day. Praise God. That's what it means. They began to respect themselves. Amen. They saw that he had silenced the Sadducees. They were glad. Glory to God. You know, because they were like opponents. They don't believe the same things. So they were glad. They quickly came to meet him, asked him questions, and then he gave them their own stroke of cane also. Glory to God. Now, the disciples also asked him different questions. Some of the questions you even find funny. But then they asked him questions. That shows you how much liberty they had to ask Jesus questions. For instance, Matthew 13, verse 10. Matthew 13, 10. Look at this kind of question now, which is very intelligent, actually, if you ask me. Matthew 13, verse 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 13 and verse 10. "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?'" Glory to God. They've noticed that Jesus was always talking in parables to the multitude. So they were concerned. Glory to God. So like I said, you can ask, why do we do the things we do the way we do them? Glory to God. There's liberty for such questions. You are not to be silenced or shut up. Amen. "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus did not say, "Are you questioning my authority?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." There's an answer. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 verse 12. Look at the question they asked him here. That shows you a lot of them had the liberty to ask him questions. They were free. Glory to God. Glory to God. Matthew 15 and verse 12. Look at this other question too. Hallelujah. Matthew 15, 12. Bible says, then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Hallelujah. Jesus had just finished responding to the Pharisees. He condemned their doctrine of, you know, having to wash your hand so as to be clean when you eat and all that. So Jesus says, see, what goes into the mouth is not what defiles a man. You know, because the cleaning there is not for hygiene's sake. It was, they were attributing it to some spiritual form of, you know, cleansing. Amen. That is, you know, don't be ceremonially unclean. So you have to eat, washing your hand in a special way. And Jesus had to, you know, debunk that claim right before them. So disciples came and said, ah, master, did you observe that these guys were angry? Are you observant? Did you observe that they were really offended when you said this thing? Praise God. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Glory to God. They asked him questions. They observed his reaction to the Pharisees, and they saw the reaction of the Pharisees, and they asked him, did you notice they were offended? It's simple. Hallelujah. Look at this other question. Glory to God. Matthew 15, 33. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to feed such a great multitude? What was this question about? Jesus told them to feed the multitudes because he had kept them for 3 days. And then the disciples did not start panicking and, you know, trying to quickly do it and all that, despite not having the resources. They just asked him, simple question, sir, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to feed such a multitude? You know, and Jesus answered and said to them, how many loaves do you have? And all that. So, I mean, interactions were happening. Questions were asked. When things appeared to be difficult, they were free to just ask him questions. Glory to God. Matthew 17, 10. Look at this place too. Matthew 17 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Matthew 17 and verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? This is a doctrinal question. Amen. Because at verse 9, Jesus has said to them, you know, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Glory to God. Until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. They had just seen the vision of Jesus, Elijah, and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. So they were disturbed. And then they asked him the question, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? I mean, we saw Elijah on the mountain with you. Elijah hasn't come. He's still, I mean, we saw him in a vision with you. You are here before Elijah. And then Jesus had to answer them and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him but they did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. You see, Jesus taking his time to answer questions, to give clarifications. And you see the liberty of the disciples, you know, the liberty that they had to ask questions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's quite awkward for a pastor to say nobody should ask questions in this church. We don't take questions. Just obey. Just obey. No, there's no such thing. Glory to God. We are not raising zombies. We are not leading robots. Men have the right to ask questions, to get clarity, you know, for as long as they need it. Glory to God. Matthew 17 and verse 19. Matthew 17 and verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? This was a question they asked after they had attempted to cast out a demon. They struggled. And then Jesus came on the scene and then he cast out the demon. Now in secret, they went to meet him. Master, why couldn't we cast it out? Glory to God. And Jesus gave them an answer. Hallelujah. Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind cannot go out except by fasting and prayer. Glory to God. Matthew 19, verse 25. Look at this question. They also asked him. Matthew 19, verse 25. You know, some of those questions seem very, simple. They seem, funny. But then, they had the liberty to ask. They were puzzled. For every question they asked, they needed clarity. They needed to know something. They needed to find out something. And Jesus readily supplied the answers. Matthew 19, verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Because Jesus just said to them, it is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. He says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They were shocked. So they said, who then can be saved? They needed further clarity concerning what he had said. And he gave it to them. Glory to God. Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. Peter went ahead to ask another question. With God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Glory to God. I mean, they had the liberty to ask him questions. So you see, it is not just following him like a zombie. They were learning, receiving instructions, obeying instructions, and asking questions and getting clarity, knowing why they were doing the things they were doing, knowing why he was teaching the way he was teaching. They got clarity through conversations. Hallelujah. They got clarity through conversations. Glory to God. Look at this question also. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Hallelujah. A local church that allows people to ask questions is not doing anything extra. It's not doing anything that is, out of the world. Something innovative. It's the Bible way. Glory to God. It's the Bible way. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Look at what Jesus said. Look at the question that the disciples asked Jesus. Matthew 24:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Glory to God. Because Jesus just told them that all these things are going to be destroyed. They showed him a beautiful building and Jesus says, see, not one stone will be upon another. All these things will be destroyed. Hallelujah. And then they were puzzled. They asked him questions concerning that. What will be the sign of the end of the age? What will be the sign of your coming? When will this thing that you just said, when will it happen? And then Jesus began to answer them. Glory to God. So you see, answers were supplied to all their questions. There was no time they asked him questions and Jesus did not provide an answer. Glory to God. Look at this also. John chapter 9. Praise God. John 9 verse 1 to 2. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Who sinned? They had the liberty to ask him. Hallelujah. That means they had those questions before. It must have been a popular opinion or belief system in Jerusalem or in Israel amongst the Jews. So it was an opportunity to ask Jesus to get clarity. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Look at John 14. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. I find this one very, very interesting. From verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you also know. Now, verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Praise God. How can we know the way? You know, Jesus says, the way you know. You know where I'm going and you know the way. Then Thomas says, no, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Glory to God. And you know, Jesus answered. Jesus now said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Glory to God. So you see, dialogue, conversations, Jesus teaching, them asking questions, getting more clarity. It's part of leadership, you know, to accommodate questions, to be open to questions, and to be able to supply or to be able and be ready to supply answers to those questions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, you find the Corinthian church as a classic example of leadership being asked questions. Of leadership being asked questions, demanding more clarity from leadership. Glory to God. At 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at this carefully. 1 Corinthians 7, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, they actually wrote to Paul concerning certain things. They were seeking more clarity concerning those things. And, you know, it just goes on to further buttress the fact that leadership entertains questions. Amen. New Testament leadership in the body of Christ is meant to entertain questions. 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Imagine such kind of question. They were puzzled. They were confused. Was it right to touch a woman or to not touch a woman? I mean, we're talking holiness in our bodies being the temple of God, you know, our bodies being the temple of God. Is it right to touch a woman? Amen. Wouldn't I be defiling my body by touching a woman? In fact, Paul just concluded at chapter 6, he just concluded how that we are meant to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. He says, if we is joined to a harlot, is one body with her. Shall I then take the member of Christ and join it to a harlot? Flee sexual immorality. And then he says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6. And then from verse 16 down to 20. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 down to 20. So at chapter 7, it was a good place for him to quickly address one of their concerns. They had written to him about it. So he answered that question. Glory to God. That it's good to for every man to have his own wife for the sake of sexual immorality. Let each woman also have her own husband. You know, and then you see that Paul was addressing different matters. Now concerning things offered to idols, chapter 8. He was addressing different matters in the Corinthian church. Amen. He gets to chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Glory to God. So people are free to ask questions while following the leader. It is not a zombie following. You are free to ask questions. Also, you are free to judge and to test and to discern their words. Amen. You are free to judge and to test and to discern their words. You are not meant to just receive everything hook, line, and sinker. You are not under compulsion to take everything that the pastor is saying as truth. Glory to God. You know, if we maintain a different position from this, then, I mean, we shouldn't be telling anybody to judge anything. If I say in my local church, nobody should judge what I say, then I shouldn't say they should judge the words of any other person. Glory to God. You know, the way Paul says it is different. Paul says, whether it is we or an angel from heaven, we or an angel, that is anybody at all that preaches a different gospel, Galatians 1, 8 to 9, let him be accursed. Hallelujah. In fact, at Acts of Apostles chapter 17, from verse 10 to 12, look at this now. I do not believe that, or I do not think that, asking men to be discerning or to judge the things we say, the things we teach in the church, I do not think it will in any way breed disrespect or disregard. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's for the safety of the pastor or the leader and the followers. If everybody is just following and taking everything hook, line, and sinker, and people are not thinking and processing what is being said, it is not a good thing. Praise God. Acts of Apostles 17. Now listen carefully at this junction, because, and you don't want to get off this broadcast at this junction. You have to listen to everything I'm going to say. Amen. Acts of Apostles 17, verse 10 to 12. We see that even men who were unbelievers were commended for having this attitude. Acts 17, 10 to 11. Bible says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Hallelujah. They searched the scriptures daily to find out. Who were the people teaching them? Paul and Silas. Look at the caliber of men that taught the Bereans. Yet they decided to prove their words. These were apostles. With what were they proving the words of the apostle Paul? With the words of the prophets. Because they were teaching from the scriptures of the prophets. What they referred to as scriptures here was the Old Testament books, not any of the epistles, the Old Testament materials. They searched to find out if what they said from those materials were actually true, if those things were so presented in the scriptures of the prophets. Hallelujah. The word searched there is the Greek word anakrino, which means to judge, to investigate, to search, to scrutinize. Hallelujah. To question. So they judged the things they were receiving as unbelievers. And what did that lead to? Faith. You know, because what the apostles taught from the scriptures, they found those things to be true. They found the things they said to be what the prophets actually said. Hallelujah. So eventually, their attitude or disposition of trying to prove and to judge and scrutinize the words of the apostles didn't mislead them from faith. In fact, it led them to having faith in the gospel. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. They believed as a result of searching and scrutinizing and investigating the things they received. Glory to God. It couldn't have misled them because it's there. Hallelujah. Are you getting the point? It's there. If I say, don't check it, don't search out, don't just receive, follow. Why are you probing? That means I have something I'm trying to hide from you. Praise God. If it's there, go and search it. Hallelujah. If it's there, you are free to probe. You'll find it exactly the same way I said it. Glory to God. So there's no need discouraging men from not judging and testing what they're receiving. If what you are saying is from the scriptures, then they will find it so in the scriptures. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So they searched and investigated. And I showed us Galatians 1:8 earlier. Galatians 1:8-9, Paul says, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel apart from what we have preached, let him be accursed. Even if we are an angel from heaven. Praise God. You are free to judge the things you are receiving, because without you testing what you are receiving, you can't be said to have discernment. Hallelujah. You cannot be said to have discernment if you are not proving the things you are receiving. Glory to God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 to 5. Much of the errors in the body of Christ today are as a result of blind followership. Men are not checking what they are receiving. They are just following like zombies. No, 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 no. It's a no, no. Praise God. You are going to be healthy and sound in the faith to the degree that you prove the things you are receiving. Because there are many false teachings and false teachers out there in the world. Hallelujah. And we ought not to say, well, you should trust me now. Me, I'm your pastor. You should trust. Now, it's good to trust your pastor, but not at the expense of testing what you are receiving. Glory to God. Because that is instructed in the Bible. The Bible tells us to judge the things we receive, to test all things. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 to 5. Glory to God. Now you have to pay attention well. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 to 5. Look at how Paul says it here. He says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which are caught with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Amen. We should be able to judge a man that is saying otherwise. We should be able to judge a man that is preaching that godliness is a means for gain. So if I'm in a local assembly where the pastor is tending towards materialism, I should be able to scrutinize and test his words. Hallelujah. I shouldn't just receive blindly because he's my pastor. I should judge what is saying, the content of the pulpit, by the integrity of the word of God, by the constancy and the consistency of the truth of God's word, by the purity of the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. This is very key. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Because I'm aware that this teaching on the local church, if care is not taken, can be misinterpreted to mean wherever you find yourself, just submit there and follow everything they do for the rest of your life, not testing, judging anything. Just even if they are preaching sin, just follow them. Praise God. No, that's not what we're saying. Amen. The leadership of the local church is subject to the authority of the scriptures. Amen. And I said at the beginning of this series that we're going to come to all these extremes and other, you know, things that we must factor in this study. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 1, Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So we are to test every spirit. Hallelujah. We are to test every spirit. In my local church, people are free to judge what I teach. They are free to ask me questions. People have come to ask me questions. "Oh, pastor, you said this. What about this particular portion in scripture?" Do you understand? And then we give answers. We give clarity. We don't shut people down. Glory to God. People are free to judge and test and prove what we are teaching in the light of scriptures. Glory to God. That is a healthy way to lead God's people. Glory to God. A healthy way to lead God's people. Now, notice that in all these instructions on testing and proving and judging and scrutinizing the words that you receive, the teachings you receive, there is no instruction that you should confront the leader of a local church. Amen. In all you're asking questions and scrutinizing things, you do not have the right to confront or to rebuke the leader of a local church. Praise God. I mean, you don't walk up to a leader of a local church because you have a disagreement over doctrine and you begin to rebuke him and shout him down and call him out. You say, "Hey, well, Paul called out Peter." You are unserious. So praise God. And who exactly is Paul and Peter, apostles of Christ? Did you find any disciple in the early church calling out the leaders? Amen. You won't find such example in the Bible, in the early church, of disciples, members of local churches calling out their leaders. You won't find that. Paul called out Peter as an apostle in his own right, in a Gentile church, amen, that Paul was presiding over. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's not the same case as a member of a church calling out a pastor and rebuking him in the presence of everybody. That would be rebellion. You don't have the right to do that as a person. Amen. The moment you begin to instruct and correct and rebuke your leader, your pastor, in the local church, just carry your bags and leave. Because you will never receive again with the right attitude. You will never submit to him again with the right attitude. You have already assumed leadership. Glory to God. And you know, in such a case, you're already acting as an unruly fellow. Amen. A man who loves to have preeminence. Glory to God. So, you don't find those instructions saying people should confront the leadership. It says to withdraw. Amen. It says to withdraw. Paul says, at Galatians 1:8-9, that, you know, let them be accursed. Accursed means to ignore them. Amen. Withdraw. Turn away. Those are the instructions. Avoid. It doesn't say to stand up to them and begin to criticize them and begin to rebuke them sharply in the local church. There's no such thing. That's rebellion. Hallelujah. So there's an attitude to have even when you disagree with your leader. You table your disagreement with all sense of humility and meekness. Do you know why this is so also? Because sometimes you even think you are the one who is right and you are wrong. If the leader can be wrong, you can also be wrong. And you know, sometimes the person that thinks, "Yeah, I mean, I'm right, I want to go and correct the leadership," when you get there, you now get more clarifications and discover that you were actually even the one who was wrong. So, you know, have that kind of patience to find out if your position is even the right one. Glory to God. Don't have an overrated view of yourself. don't have this sense of superiority where you feel you are the one who is right and the leadership is wrong. Find out. Glory to God. We find a remarkable example in the life of Paul. Paul says when he went to Jerusalem, he went to submit to men who have a reputation in the church to find out whether he had run in vain. Glory to God. He went to find out this gospel and preaching. Though he was convinced though, Jesus showed him, but he went to table it to men of reputation in the church. Galatians in chapter 2 from verse 1, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Praise God. He went to submit his doctrine. Glory to God. So before you assume you are the one who is right, first find out from the leadership. And don't assume you have a right to start rebuking everybody in the church. You are not the leader. Praise God. Now in the case of clear false teachings, amen, Paul says withdraw. Hallelujah. Withdraw. Don't start fighting. It's a different thing if you scrutinize and you judge false teachings, you know, outside that local church. I mean, you've left and then maybe you write about it, you're preaching against it and teaching men against, you know, those things and warning them against those things and showing them scriptures. It's a different thing entirely. But to walk into a local assembly, I mean, if I get into a local assembly today and I discover that they are preaching false doctrine, I won't stand up and start fighting the pastor and start rebuking him. No, I'll just withdraw. That's the instruction. Withdraw from such places. Glory to God. Because if you don't heed that instruction and you begin to rebuke the pastor and the leader and you begin to cause an uproar in that place, you're already learning rebellion towards authority figures. And I said this earlier in the broadcast. That was the reason why Jesus said to his disciples and the multitude, he says, see, the Pharisees, they are misleading men with their conduct and all that, but they sit in Moses' seat, listen to everything they have to say. Hallelujah. But don't do according to their deeds. That is, don't rebel against them. Don't start fighting them or rebuking them. No, they are leaders. So respect them as leaders occupying Moses' seat. Amen. According to the old covenant. It's important because you are going to be helping yourself when you obey that kind of instruction. You are going to learn to not rebel against authority figures. I'm going to continue from here tomorrow. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of prayers, spiritual songs, full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.